Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com. Spirituality, psychic development, love and relationships, manifesting prosperity, and more. You now have access to the world's most renowned spiritual teachers, healers, psychics, and mediums as you join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Good evening. My name is Maureen Holleran, and you're listening to the Psychic Viewpoint sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. This evening, I'm so pleased and really excited. Mary Kay Greer will be here to talk to us about Who Are You in the Tarot. It's actually from her book. But before we get started, please join me in welcoming my co-host. And I will start with Steve. Hi, Steve.
Good evening, Maureen.
How are you doing this lovely, technically challenging night?
I'm doing well. I stay away from the technical stuff. But yeah, I'm looking forward to the show on tarot, Maureen.
I am too. And Mary Greer is real special to me from when I started in 1988. Yeah, thanks, Steve. Could you tell a little bit about yourself too, please?
Absolutely. I'm a psychic medium and hermetic astrologer. I give readings with Psychic Access, and I've been with the radio show for, gosh, Maureen, almost 4 years, you know, 3.5 years now.
Yeah. Oh, yes, you have been. You and I both are the old-timers, is that what you mean? Yeah, that, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Well, we're the sometimers.
Thursday evening with family. Yeah, I always look forward to our show.
We love each other so much. We don't ever get into any squabble, okay? Read about it in Inquiring Minds. Well, no, I'm joking. Thank you, Steve. Carmen, hi. How are you doing?
I'm fine. How are you, Maureen? Thanks for having us.
Oh, thanks for having yourselves coming in. And I'm glad you're doing well. And Carmen, can you tell us about what you do in your work?
So I am a telepath and tarot reader.
Okay.
And so that is a psychic, just like you.
No one's just like me. No one's just like you. No one's just like, you know. Thank you, Carmen. No, we all kind of like are like-minded in our own way. It's kind of a cool thing, isn't it? We're not charlatans here, okay, everybody? Okay. Stephen. Hi, Stephen. How are you feeling?
Oh, Maureen, I'm a little under the weather tonight, but I tell you what, I did not want to miss your guest. Mary Kay Greer is a celebrity among tarot readers. She's influenced generations of us, and I would have been here even if I were on my deathbed, so I'm excited.
Thanks, Stephen. She's like I call her Tara Wise Woman. She's like the Tara Wise Woman.
You couldn't have picked a better name for her, actually.
Yeah, well, someone else I think picked that, but she's also. But yeah, I'm glad you're here, Stephen. I know you don't feel well, but and thank you for coming. Could you tell? Would you mind, whatever you feel comfortable telling everybody what you do?
Sure. Thank you. I also rely on the tarot, just like you guys. I rely on the tarot for empowering my clients, for equipping them with some expectation of what the future is going to hold for them, both romantically, for their careers, and just for their own spiritual paths or whatever. The tarot, I've found, is a powerful tool for comprehending what sort of energies are coming your way. I also use medieval astrology to round out and give a more comprehensive picture for those people who have really, really long-running problems that they just can't resolve. So, and I'm very proud to do what I do for PsychicAccess.com and work with all of you guys.
And we're very proud of you.
Thank you.
I think I like your energies. It's very interesting and different. We're all kind of different, but it's kind of nice.
Well, right now my energy feels like someone has filled up a neti pot of black pepper and like poured it into my sinuses. But other than that, I think I'll live.
You'll live, but we'll make sure that you get a little bit of rest, so we'll take over the other part. We'll have your back later when we do readings, so I'll talk
Gracias.
About that.
Gracias.
Well, you, Steve, come on. You deserve it all. Hold on a minute. I'm checking out something real quick. It's something. Okay, well, I would first like to say if in the chat room we are having a little bit of difficulty, that technical difficulty. If you're unable to hear, please be sure to check out the archives. The archives will be fine, and I just want to, you know, let you know that. And also, it might be resolved as well. So I just want to let you know if you can even hear me. Anyway, okay. Mary Kay Greer is a scholar, a writer, teacher, and professional tarot consultant. And with more than 40 years' experience in tarot as an author and teacher, she advocates a revolutionary approach to learning and using the cards that emphasizes personal insight and creativity. She's so much more than that, everybody. But and I believe – hi, Mary.
Hi. How are you, Maureen?
Oh, so lovely. I'm so happy to hear your voice. I feel like I know you so well just because – like I said, 1988, 87, something like that. I didn't have any mentors. I didn't have anybody. You were it.
I'm glad my books were there for you.
Well, it was the one, that one. It was that one. Oh, gosh. You know, people listening, Mary, and people have called you the Tarot Wise Woman, or a lot of other wonderful things, but you were... that was the best thing that ever happened to me because, like, for me, I'm self-taught, and I got connected with the tarot, and I identified everything that you were talking about in the tarot, the workbook. It was fantastic because what I did, I didn't go about what people were, read the descriptions and do this. I was connected to them because I was going through a terrible, hideous time in my life. It was like a 12-78 step program. Is what I called it. And I would draw pictures of the cards. I just would pick them up, and I was going through all this stuff. And I felt like, and when I found this workbook of yours, it was exactly what, no one was understanding me, what the heck was going on. I didn't understand what I was, wasn't descriptions, but it was like the way you were. It's like your essence about how you approached it or how you viewed it. Do you follow me on what I mean by that?
I think so. The essence is that I try to present ways that people could discover the cards for themselves, but it's kind of hard if someone says to you, just look at the cards and decide what your own meanings are. That's impossible, or at least it was for me. So the workbook was all kinds of ways to kind of trick you into discovering the cards.
Right, and a lot of people. What I found, I wasn't an artist or anything, but I drew, drew what I was seeing, and having a little bit of background and some of the descriptions, of course. There were so many, people with their descriptions of reversals, but I drew the photo, drew the sketches, and it's interesting. From that, I was approached by somebody to do illustrations in their book. I mean, I was an artist, but I was getting so much out. They were for just my benefit of me learning really some hard lessons of taking a good look at myself, which was not very comfortable. That it's almost like they're just a real bit part of me, your workbook, and I passed that book on to somebody else years, like in the 90s, later on to somebody else, as a matter of fact, but. Anyway,
and a new edition with all kinds of new material added in. So, I hope you got a new edition for yourself.
I haven't, but I want to. In fact, because when I ran across you, it's like I said, you're you're like the woman to me. Can you tell us? I know, you were a college professor. I mean, former college professor. But could you give us a little bit of a background? I mean, you've had 40 years, and how is it that you – why tarot? Why? Why?
I was in college, and this was way back in the late 60s. A friend got the Eden Gray book, Tarot Revealed, for Christmas, but no cards. So she was my best friend. We're sitting there looking at them, and I just had this passion that I had to find these cards because they seemed to speak to me. So I went on a quest, asked around, and it was Florida. And interestingly, Florida has an old tradition of the spiritualist kind of world. So you have to look carefully for it. But at the time, there was a metaphysical bookstore on the other side of Tampa, and I borrowed someone's car and went off and found the cards. And I decided right away that someday I was going to teach it in college as an academic subject, and that someday I would write a book about them. And I saw myself in my 60s or 70s finally writing down my life's wisdom. Luckily, I met a guy who I was with for 21 years who encouraged me to write my book much sooner than that, my first book.
And I kind of went on from there. Thank you to him. Thank you, wherever he is. Thank you to him. Mary, so you were, this was in the, well, as I can recall, the workbook that I can recall, it was from 1980, it was in 1984. I picked it up in 1988, the workbook. As I can recall,
yeah.
So you've been. That's almost like you were the pioneer to me. There were a lot of different people. I mean, of course, as you know, there's this and that, but from there, you've. And it's not like, you know, everybody listening. You don't put out a book every month, and during that time, it's not like everybody could publish a book either. You know, it wasn't like it is now. You know, bless everybody's heart. But you had really something to say, and the way you approached them, and the way. And I love, you know, I love Union and the Tarot is to me, I'm real connected with that as well, the way I approach them. But your way was just more like, it wasn't like telling people, some people, this is how it should be done, or this is the, how do you say, there wasn't any rules so much.
Yeah, one of the basic ideas in Tarot for Yourself was break all the rules and find out what happens. And sometimes you learn, oh, that was a good rule. I like what that, you know, the kind of limits it puts on me or the direction it focuses. And sometimes you learn that the rules are silly, like the idea that someone else has to buy your first deck for you. I bought my first deck, and I'm so glad I did. It was one of the best gifts I ever gave myself. So, you know, that rule I absolutely threw out. You know, but there were other rules that I found worked for me, or some variation on them.
And what were those?
I'm trying to remember right now.
Okay.
One of them is, you know, don't read... if somebody asks you about someone else in their life, don't do a reading on that other person without their permission. And that's been a major ethics rule for me that I almost always hold to. Occasionally, there's a really important reason why your client needs to know about this person. It impacts them directly. And so, you know, there are a few cases where, you know, you're going to relax the rules. But in general, that's a rule that personally, for me, has been very important for tarot.
I agree with that. In fact, it's invasion of privacy when someone asks me. I feel... if they're asking about someone else, I say, well, let me hear if they have permission. Give me the permission slip on that. You have you're ethical, you have integrity, and you're an authentic truth. You're all about truth. And that's why I felt, and like I said, I didn't have men, but I can honestly say, I guess you were my mentor. That was it. You were it. You're it.
So I'm really honored to hear you say that.
Oh, you know, there's a lot of other people out there, and you know this. And, you know, it's funny how the journey is going. It's like for some people, it was really great for me because I didn't know what, like, I didn't pick this work, but I must do. And so, you know, I there's so much I want to talk to you about. I don't want to go around in circles, but I can. I can because I have so much to talk about. But what I wanted to ask you, well, first of all, I know you're known as a tarot wise woman. I love that because that's, you are a tarot wise woman. And but also now, well, you are. And you're so authentic. That's the thing. And, you know, talking about the cards, speaking of that, you know, buying for other people or whatever, I have no idea what that's about because myself, I learned on the Aquarian deck, first deck of all decks. Interesting. Everybody said, but it was only because I don't know why I was going through a rough time. But I know, it was interesting, but you had an audio, I think, yes, in 1988, I wanted to ask you real quick about this. Did you, you know, audio, remember those cassettes? I remember cassettes.
Yes.
Okay, in 1988, did you put out an audio course, like a program on the tarot?
I had a couple of audio things that came out. One was for a big company that, although it didn't last long, it had meditations and so on with the tarot. And then the other one was a set of interpretations for the cards.
That was it. And at the same time, and in December 1988 was when I first decided to go in profession. I came out of the closet, whatever. I produced an audio, and I didn't do it. I know you were going to, but it didn't make it very well. But I did one called, it was an audio, and I picked tarot cards for people. And I packaged, marketed in that way. It was not a good idea. But I... And I remember getting yours, I go, wait, you know, during the audio cassette days. And it came with a little booklet. And I remember I got yours, and I was like, oh, my God. It was a fantastic. I still have it, the audio tape and the interpretations. And it was fantastic. And mine, I still have thousands and thousands of cassette tapes of mine. But that was, and it was just the synchronicity of it all. It was like, oh, you know, it's just like something. And I wanted to ask you, because I knew I wasn't, my mind hadn't gone into some timers on that one, but you know, Mary, I wanted to also, you know, especially now, you've been people, please read about Mary, you know, in her bio. I can go into this, but you've had so much credibility and awards and been honored and, you know, acknowledged as you should be. But you know, what would you say about right now? We're in a really interesting time. I feel we are anyway. And so there's a lot of the psychology going into the psychology and the tarot is really something that's present right now, or more so talked about, aspects of the tarot, the psychological aspects, combining in psychology. You know, how is that? What do you think about that in your personal view and professional evolution of it all? What do you think about that?
Well, a lot of people have accused me of doing tarot therapy, and certainly because I've studied the work of Carl Jung and many other therapists and psychologists, I've studied them for a long time and was doing a PhD in East-West psychology. So, you know, that's definitely, it has an influence on my readings, but it was also there at the very, very beginning. I was influenced by Jung and Campbell, which is why I was so drawn to the cards in the first place when I was in college. I saw that connection immediately. And the work that's in tarot for yourself, it's all about coming to know yourself more deeply. I just have to draw really strict lines about the way I go about a spread, and especially not doing, you know, regular weekly sessions with people, because it would turn into therapy if I did. So I guide people through their own experience of the cards as much as possible. 15-minute spread, a reading, I don't have much time to do that, but when I'm doing a full reading that takes an hour to an hour and a half, a lot of that time is involved in my guiding the person through looking at the images on the cards and responding to those. I feel it's far more important when the client has an insight than when I tell them something, even if what I've told them is absolutely true. If they come to the realization, especially with an emotional component attached to that, in other words, it strikes something deep in their being, then they're going to remember it more and are more likely to make changes, if necessary, around that than if, you know, the tarot reader tells them. So it's just my style. I feel things are much more important when a person has their own realizations.
Absolutely. I love that, and exactly what you're saying, because it's not the card that's speaking. it's you know, I love that, and that's exactly right, that they're getting a real – and again, that's how – again, the way you approach things. So, you know, it comes to the book, you know, and I did name – everybody, yes, I named the topic show, and not because I, you know, just – created that name. It's from a book. Is that your most recent book? What Are You in the Tarot? Is that, it was 2011, I think.
I guess that, is that more recent than, I also did 21 Ways to Read a Tarot Card. Oh. I just don't remember which one was more recent now.
Well, it's okay.
You in the Tarot, which is a redo of Tarot Constellations on the birth
right.
cards, is more than that.
I remember you did do, you have done some redo because you, because your journey and your expertise, I know that you've done some redo or you know, connected with some of them, but you've written so many, but I know that you've, and I love how you go back at the constellations. That's about what is in Who Are You in the Tarot. Is that true? That you combined
it? That's cards and year cards. Cards that are personal to you based on your birthday.
Right. So everybody out there listening, even though I love the title, the topic, I mean, for the show, the title of your book. I hope you're okay with that. But Who Are You in the Tarot, I personally liked because, like I said, I connected with the Tarot not to read for people. I connected with them for reasons, well, it ended up being I help people, but it had to do with me. Who am I in the Tarot? And I always say Tarot is a symbolic record of human experience. And I feel very strongly about that just for me. I'm not saying I'm right or wrong or I believe it. But so with that said, what you did with this, within this book, and there's so many great books here, but this one I wanted to focus on because you're also very well, you know, well educated in astrology and numerology. Is that correct? Yes.
Yes, it's not what I work on as much now, but I certainly have gone through periods where that's been a major focus. Yes.
Right. And during the time before they had computers, so you really we had to calculate everything back in the day in astrology.
Do all the calculations ourselves.
Yeah, you know what? No one doesn't remember that. It was a neat thing, but it took, so some time to consume. It's easy now. Well, Mary, could you talk to us about your book anyway? I know that for anybody out there, do you feel this book would be something that maybe a beginner, if somebody was interested in a tarot or never, you know, for themselves or just curious, would this be the type of book that would work out for them to play, you know, to...
Oh, it's perfect for people who don't know anything about tarot, and you don't even have to get into reading the cards. You can use this as a system in its own right if you want. So you can start out knowing nothing just with a tarot deck and your birth information and that of all your friends, of course, and, you know, go through and find the cards or the archetypal energies that are most congruent with you based on when you were born into this world, this incarnation, our Western calendar system. It all works together. So, you know, our Western calendar indicates a birthday that is you being birthed into this culture at this period of time. And I feel those numerological connections really seem to make a difference. I've used them in almost all my in-depth readings over 40 years and, you know, just seeing how closely those personal cards align with people's core issues. So all the cards in the tarot are archetypal energies within ourselves, but certain ones kind of like highlight, they light up more within us, and some of them are by age and time and you know, levels of interest, like when you're a woman is pregnant, the Empress becomes much more active in your life during that pregnancy and early childhood time, and other periods, other cards, but your birth cards, and then also the cards for each year really help to give you the direction towards that all-important sense of the soul purpose. So does that kind of give an overview?
You articulated and presented that absolutely wonderful, because I understand. And also, it sounds like a book that would be really interesting for people to learn together, because from what I want to get this book. I have not yet done so. Okay, I'm telling you the truth. But I have looked through it, and it you put it together really well, because it's very, you know, you have includes detailed instructions, charts, and exercises to determine how you come to your soul and personal cards, and how to determine everything we just spoke about. And it sounds like it'd be a really interesting. It's a book where people wouldn't be intimidated whatsoever. Like you said, they don't even need to know that, you know, what each card means. But I always found all the sciences when I have been reading, and I've had to figure that out again on my own because I self-taught in astrology and numerology. It's amazing how they all fuse in. I mean, it's like, I was like, wow. And back in the day, not too long ago, but how it all started to make sense, everything. And when I ran across this book, you know, I know it's been out for a couple, well, we probably don't know now, either it's 2011 or 2000, but I didn't know it was out there. I'm certainly going to get it because I would love to, your information is fantastic and so, like I said, so truth that it sounds like a really fun book that you could really have a lot of fun with too, with other people.
Oh yeah, you look up all your family and your friends, and it gives you insight kind of on how to approach someone. If I'm doing a reading for somebody, and I first work out their birth cards, I have an immediate sense of how they're best going to hear the information in the spread, and where they might get their backup or something. So I've already got a handle on that, as well as by looking at it, it sometimes brings the issue that they've come with into more focus, because almost always those major life issues relate back to your personality and soul cards, those basic cards from your birthday. The interpersonal stuff is interesting. There's a lot of family dynamics that you start seeing in the cards that belong to each member of your family. If you're married, like my mother and my ex-husband's father had the same card, and his mother and my father had the same card. So we had this kind of cross-parental influence that we both understood.
Oh, wow. I like that. Is that a synchronicity, too, for some?
I think that always in families there's some kind of dynamic like that in the family structure somewhere.
I get that. I have to get this book myself because I love what you just brought up. A good point for people that are already reading professionally for their clients, or they have a new client, and that is an added, would be a nice added to your knowledge a little bit more so before the reading, and also to share with that person. I think it's, oh, that's fantastic. So what is it that you actually, let's say, I know you do the year card. Well, I want to get to that first. What's the first thing that you would do? If I was to pick up this book, you would figure out which card would be your birth card.
Yeah. You start out with that. I've got a little bit of introductory material where I explain the whole concept, but then the real meat of it comes when you actually sit down and take your birthday. Do you mind if I use your birthday for a moment?
No, I'd love you to.
Oh, you were born August 1st, 1960, right?
Correct.
Okay, so we take the month, the day, and the year you were born and write it down just like an elementary school addition project. So you've got all the units in line, the 8, the 1, and the 0 of the 1960. And so you add 8 plus 1 plus 0, and that equals 9, and then you just bring down your 6 and your 9 and your 1. So 8-1-1960 adds up to a four-digit number, 1969. Now, that doesn't help us very much because there's 22 major arcana, so we need to reduce this using what's sometimes called theosophic reduction. It's kind of an occult method of reducing numbers to their essence, and we add the 1 plus the 9 plus the 6 plus the 9 and end up with 25. There's still no tarot card number 25, so we have to add the 2 and 5 together, and that adds up to 7. So that points us at the tarot card, the Chariot. So the Chariot is your both your personality and your soul card. Before I go into that, I want to mention there's one other card in the Major Arcana that adds up to 7, and that's 16.
Tower.
And those that's two because cards, 1 plus 6 equals 7. So it's another vibration. You didn't get a 16 directly. So the Tower is what's called your hidden factor or your shadow card. I also consider it your teacher card because Carl Jung told us that our shadow is our greatest teacher. And it's so much nicer to call it a teacher card than a shadow. that means that usually during the first part of your life, especially up until the Saturn return when you're around 28, 29, it tends to kind of just react in your life without your understanding where it's coming from, that hidden card. But after your first Saturn return, it starts to become more the teacher and you start kind of getting its lessons. Your soul card, your Chariot card, just automatically responds. And as a Chariot, that's kind of, some of women don't like it when they're the Chariot, but it's really a strong card of mastery. It's something that, women in the modern times have been, so determined to rule our own lives and be able, in charge of our own directions, our own choices. And the Chariot really focuses on that. It represents mastery, controlled and directed energy, learning to become victorious over our own impulses so that we're directing our own life. It's a hero and warrior and quest card. So a lot of the task of this lifetime for you is about self-mastery and control. That's the outer experience of it, but he wears armor. And I find it very interesting that the Golden Dawn associated it with Cancer, the astrological sign of Cancer, which is a water sign and incredibly intuitive. As a matter of fact, he has moons on both of his shoulders. So we see that there's another level of the Chariot card. He wears the armor because he's so sensitive underneath. And therefore, that control and mastery becomes important to be able to function in the outer world. You have to put on kind of an armor to protect that, sensitive vulnerability and that intuitive quality that sometimes has to be hidden in order to be able to act, in a very directed manner out in the world. So there's two sides to the Chariot, as shown by the two horses or the two sphinxes that pull the Chariot. So all of these factors are part of your life. You put on the robes that will kind of fool everybody around you that you know what you're doing. But really you're being led by your intuition and your higher directive force, that star that is usually shown on the forehead or the crown that the charioteer wears.
You know, Mary, it's interesting that you bring this up. And I've known I'm a number 7. I know it comes from 25. But the Chariot and the Tarot and the Tower have always been, because they both equal the 7, those two cards I studied more than, I went into the area. I didn't just go to tarot books. I mean, even in the Bible, things, especially in the Tower, everything, it's like, the way I view it anyway, where I'm standing, I had my interpretation about that. I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy, the Tower, for one, but it was something that I embraced. I have embraced more than once, but that it was almost like I went around in circles. And so if somebody's having a rough time protecting or putting, and the world's getting a hold of them too much, it could be very difficult for that type of person that would have that, Chariot and Tower. Yes?
The best quality of the Tower is that although you it can indicate anger that is either really suppressed or comes up all too easily. It tends to be one extreme or the other. But what happens is that the charioteer can be a warrior for a cause, but it takes the Tower getting ignited in order to give you the drive to go out and do something about the situation. I liken it to the chariot here being a car with an engine in it. The tower are the pistons that are fire, and that's what makes the car go. The gasoline goes, ignites in the engine, and it's the driving up and down of the pistons as they fire that is the propulsion for the chariot. So somebody who has this combination, you have to get fired up about something. And periodically, you have to have something that tears away all the false personas that you've put on yourself in order to be able to go out in the world, in order to remake yourself as the more pure being that you are. It's necessary, because in putting on those masks, on that armor to go out in the world, it can become rigidified and fixed. So the tower allows that to be torn apart, unfortunately sometimes in a somewhat terrifying kind of experience, but it brings you down to the essence of who you are and allows you to go forward then more truly yourself.
Because authentically speaking.
It's torn away.
Right. It's like, I always thought the towers as actually rebuilding a foundation, your own.
Exactly.
Where it works. You know, Mayor, we're going to take a 1 minute right now. I thought it'd be a good time, a 1 minute commercial break sponsored by psychicaccess.com, but we'll be right back.
Okay.
A new era in psychic services has begun. Psychicaccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing, and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at psychicaccess.com?
Okay, and we're back with Mary Greer. And now I have, we all know there's four of us co-hosts on here, and Stephen would like to step in because, I don't blame him, because Mary's offered to check into his. And his, Mary, his information is August 23rd, he's a young guy, 1975.
Okay, so we the month then becomes 8, which in 8/23/1975, so we add 8 plus 3, and that gives us 11, plus 5 is 16, carry 1, and then we have 7 plus 2 from the 23, 7, so that gives us 10, carry 1, add that to the 9, that gives us a 10, so we have a 4-digit number that is 2006, that adds up to 8. And that's the next card after the chariot card. If the chariot is power over your situation, your environment, the constellation is finding power within. It's acknowledging that power within. It's finding the courage of your convictions, the courage to be yourself. Whereas the chariot here was the hero or warrior archetype, the strength card is the heroine, the enchantress, the animal helper archetype. This idea of being able to love whatever that instinctive drive within you is, finding the courage of that, because we don't have the fortitude or courage to stick with something unless we can harness it with our full heart's energy. And the lion on the strength card represents Leo, the lion-hearted. And so that's really where the fiery heart is in that lion. Sometimes we're afraid it can devour us. There's a sense of audacity to that could be overwhelming. Also, dealing with anger issues can really come up. And the maiden in the strength card is the one who learns to gentle that, but she also looks at that rage and that desire for, or what Crowley called a lust for personal creativity and self-expression. She looks at fully in the face and embraces it. So you have to embrace what your heart, the Leo, the lion-hearted, what that heart most desires in order to really have the strength of your convictions. So that's what that that card is really all about. Grace under pressure, being able to kind of enchant the instincts, the wild source within yourself, and to have it serve your higher purpose and your need. You have to engage your heart in whatever it is that you're doing or creating. Now, the higher card for that, the higher numbered card is 17, which is the star. So here your shadow card is what's called the bright shadow. In Jungian psychology, most people think of the shadow as negative things. But some of the Jungians have talked about the bright shadow, and there's a tendency with the bright shadow is to not acknowledge your own talents and skills. So the task, the teaching for somebody who has the strength card is to really get to a point where you can see yourself completely nude as the maiden on the star card is, to not have, not hide anything from yourself, and to fully acknowledge what your talents and skills and abilities are. It's as hard to do this sometimes as it is to acknowledge the negative things in yourself. And it's also, the star is also a card of seeing the greater pattern of things, the connections like the star, the net, or the network on the internet, to really have that intuitive understanding of those connections and links. So does that make any sense?
It makes a lot of sense. I'm amazed. People who've known me for all of my entire 38 years would never have been able to have divined that information. I'm ashamed to admit this, but you've touched on some things that I've known as a reality, like a deep, profound internal reality. And using this technique, you're able to tease that out of me. It's really amazing.
Steve... I'm sorry to interrupt. Steve, we have a Stephen with Stephen just now. But Steve, are you there? He wanted to know if you wouldn't mind. Steve, he's English.
Yes,
Steve. This is Mary. Steve, Mary.
Hi, Mary.
there's all of us go creeping up. He wanted to know if you wouldn't mind doing his real quick.
So what's the next number we've got? What's the birthday?
My birthday is January the 13th,
1975. 1975. Same year, huh?
Yes.
Yeah.
January 13th, 1975. Yes, January.
Okay, we add the 5 and the 3. We have 8. It plus 1 is 9. 7 and 1 is 8. Bring down the 9 and the 1. So we have a four-digit sum of 1989, and we're going to have to add those together. So we've got 10, 18, 27. Is that right?
Yes.
They add up 27?
Yep.
And that's a 9.
Mm-hmm.
And 9 is the Hermit. So that's the next card. Interesting that we're going in numerical order. This was not planned. The constellation of the Hermit, which consists, and none of us have had none of you three have had the higher personality card as part of it. You've all had the hidden factor or shadow. which is partly a generational thing to have that. I'm also a hermit, but I'm a moon hermit, so the hermit aspect is not a shadow one. Actually, with the latter cards in the latter prime cards, the shadow is often contained within it. But the hermit is completing karma through service, looking within the seeker. The old wise one is the archetype and represents the journey to the underworld. So the hermit, completing your karma through service. The hermit is a number 9, and numerologically 9 is the last of the primary numbers. And so it's a number of completion. And many people have said that, people who are 9s or hermits are old souls. So there's a sense that you've been incarnated, if you believe in that and work with that many times, and are somehow completing some task in this particular lifetime. That tends to lead to a lot of introspection, solitude, turning within, following your own path, but not doing it in a flamboyant style like a magician might do if somebody was a 1. The hermit doesn't mind looking more conservative because that gives him, the hermit, much more freedom to really go your own way and be your own iconoclast without throwing it in everybody's face. So a hermit can seem similar conservative on the outside, but underneath is probably the most independent of all the cards, because you've gotten to a point where your own personal integrity of ideas is more important than anything else. You just don't have to flaunt it like those who are still discovering and developing it. You can do it quietly. So hermits tend to go their own path, their own way through life. And they can be incredible teachers for others, but rather than the shoulds and oughts that you find have a tendency towards in Hierophant energy, with the hermit, it's kind of like, all I can do is show you what I've discovered to work for myself. If it works for you, fine. If it doesn't, that's fine. So it's like, this is the path I've walked that I've found worthwhile. If it works for you, then, feel free. let's see, what else can I say? Being a hermit myself, it's almost like I get overwhelmed by how much I've learned over the years about this card. Hermits can be very social, but they always need that time and space to retreat into their own solitude to recharge. So magicians can recharge with other people, and magicians are usually Sun, Wheel of Fortune magician. They get their power from other people. Hermits can be social, but they need to have that time to reintegrate themselves, to come back to their center. They need to have a sense of purpose and often decide on a direction fairly early in life. Let's see, the moon as your hidden factor or shadow card. The moon can be a real attraction to all of the things metaphysical and occult. Sometimes when you're very young, they can feel overwhelming and even be terrifying at times. But as you get older, you feel much more comfortable walking those paths that are shown in the moon card. There's a path coming up out of the water of the unconscious with a crustacean, some kind of lobster or crab that's coming up out of that. And then the first thing that's confronted is a dog and wolf, your instinctual feelings that seem to be barring the path. But what happens with the hermit is, the hermit is going to walk that solitary and sometimes terrifying path. And it becomes easier the older you are. You start learning to trust that. It's like learning to be able to run at night when there is no moon by intuitive feel rather than by having to have a flashlight or a particular light. That's the way you have to learn to move through life. So there's lots more to say, but that's a start.
Yeah, we're working you hard,
Mary. Wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary. That was lovely. You know, everybody, you must get this book. I mean, I don't go on and on about certain books. I mean, all your books are fantastic. And we on the guest page of yours, we do them listed. But I, for one, I really want to get more involved in having this book. I don't know about my co-host, I think, are kind of on board with me there. Because this is fascinating you're remarkable that you come to this. And it's not like everybody else, you know, there's some people that do, you know, you can add this and this will be this card and this card. And, you know, I'm surprised you've never had this, you know, like Gene Dixon back in the day. You know, it was an everyday in a newspaper first, you know, read your sign.
Uh-huh.
And I remember wanting to be one of those people that would be read your tarot for the day, your tarot card for the day, right? That would relate to
Other people have done that, and I find that, you know, I like getting so much more deep than you can with the kind of cookie cutter in the paper stuff. So I really like working with people individually and seeing how these things begin to play out differently for each person. Also, with the with this numerology, you can do kind of a number for the day, but it's much more insightful working with your year card, which is a card that's for you in a particular year, and seeing those lessons evolve over the entire year.
Well, from what I when I did go through parts of your book, and from what I could read, it was very user friendly. I guess it was very understandable about how to get. For instance, the year card, you would just use your month and date and birth with the year that we're in.
Yeah, there's a few exceptions, so it does help to have the book because the numbers, there being only 22 cards that we're dealing with and having to reduce them, you end up with a couple of unusual situations. Like there's one set that has three cards, and that's the 1910 one, the Sun, Wheel of Fortune, Magician. And so people need just a little help to understand, yes, it's two, you have three cards. also, in the this new edition of the book, Who Are You in the Tarot, which was based on my earlier tarot constellations, I added a chapter on relationship dynamics and look at kind of dynamic groups that each person belongs in and how those dynamics work together. In other words, I didn't compare relationships with every single combination. There's just too many variables. But I did look at six types of relationships that people get into based on their birth cards, and I have some examples of those, and those are just really fascinating for me.
That's it. You know, I'm going to get this book. I believe I'm just going to have to order it when I can finish this show tonight. You know, Mary, we only have a couple more minutes left, and if there anything else that you would like to tell any of us or our listeners about what's going on with you, we have your website. And it's a blog, and I know that you know, you're focusing on more different things these years, but is there anything particular that you'd want to, I know that you're doing, you do a lot all around the world, I know that, but is there anything you'd like to say before, you know, I complete
this? A lot of the work that I've done is now getting online on webinars, which can be viewed at any time, either online or you can get DVDs from them. So there's a group called globalspiritualstudies.com, as if it was one word, you know, just type in globalspiritualstudies.com. And that's a place that has webinars, and you'll find my name highlighted there, and, you know, several courses and sometimes hour workshops, sessions on specific tarot topics. And also the Lenormand cards, the Lenormand cards, which are an old system of cardomancy that I'm very interested in.
Yeah, I wanted to, actually, I wanted to do so many shows with you, so many interviews with you. I wanted to go into that a little more, yeah. And I have to put that aside. Well, you know, Mary, also, and everybody, and it's on your guest page, you can also go to marygreer.wordpress.com, and so much information on there. And great, I'm glad to hear about the webinars. I saw a few on the WordPress, but and that's fantastic. Anybody listening out there, Mary is truly living her authentic self in the tarot. Is defined by what I mean, and you continually amaze me with how you, I mean, you're it. I'm sorry, I don't praise everybody, Mary. Honestly, it's your delight, and I so much appreciate your work and what it's making a big difference for many people, and me included. So, and I really thank you for joining us this evening so much.
It's been wonderful. I've really enjoyed this, talking about one of my favorite subjects in the whole world.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Mary. Well, have a great evening, okay?
And same to you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, I could have talked to her forever and ever. And Stephen, before I get started, everybody, like I said, if you go to her guest page, you'll see you can go to marygreer.wordpress.com, and she mentioned the other one, Global. I didn't listen to the archive and hear that, but you probably find it on. And she doesn't do readings for people much anymore, but she has great websites, very interesting, and so all sorts of information and everything else. She's fantastic. So anybody getting involved with the tarot for the first time, or you know, interested in pursuing more, whatever. For me, you know, 25 years later, this book, I definitely going to get this book of hers. It sounds like fun too. And so I hope you guys enjoyed it. My co-host and Carmen, I know you decided you didn't want us to know that you're only 30 and we're older. So, that was okay. But, I hope that, Stephen and Steve, you thought, well, I know Stephen did. It was interesting for me though.
And very good.
It was very good. And she does use Hermetic. I put that in there. I don't know if you guys saw me do that because you both are Hermetic. Aren't you astrologers? Yes? Isn't that right?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Oh, yeah, sure. Okay, why not? All right, boys. Okay, well, thanks. Well, I'm going to lead into, like I said, there was so much more I could go on. Well, I think what we're talking about doing in the next couple months, I'm going to have her come back on. You know, maybe, you know what I'm talking about. Anyway, I will now go into what I call the announcement time. And I'd like to take a few moments to do so. And it goes like this. Wait a minute. I want to make sure I'm doing my little song and dance. Okay. Be sure to stay tuned for the second half of our show to get your free on-air reading with our gifted psychics here. We will announce a call-in number later in the show, so be sure to have your pen and paper ready. If you were unable to catch our last week's show on, and Stephen, you did a fantastic job, on Asian Alchemy, you will find a recorded archive link as well as all of our archives of all the previous shows from day one on psychicaccesstalkradio.com. Under the Archives tab. Okay, I keep trying to check something, but I'm multitasking, you guys. I'm a little older than you. Okay. Also, please feel free. We'd really like you to share the Archives link and all the future shows and details with your friends and family. And you know what? I always add in their pets because you don't underestimate pets. They too like to listen to what's going on. Absolutely. It's our objective to connect with as many individuals and furry friends as possible. So please share that link with others, you know. Please be sure to visit our psychicbloggers.com site to learn about everything from reincarnation to the how-tos of psychic development to unbelievable stories of of heartfelt experiences of some of the psychics on the site. And it's fantastic, and I really can't stress that more. Go check it out. If you're interested in a reading from the best professional psychics on the net, go to psychicaccess.com, where you'll find the best verified and accuracy-tested psychics, each with their own unique gifts, and each psychic has a detailed profile, as well as a video that you can even look at them, get the feel, for you to find out more about them, and then you can make a conscious choice of, from the list of some of the most of us authentic gifted psychics around the world. I think it is an honor working with Doug, and I mean, it's a direct reflection. I've been doing so for a decade, and Psychic Access because of the high expectations required of each psychic that he has. All the co-hosts here, Stephen, Carmen, Steve, myself, we work at psychicaccess.com, and if you'd like a personal reading from any one of us, be sure to visit us at psychicaccess.com. We'd love to hear from you. By the way, site owners and webmasters can earn 50 cents a minute on every reading on traffic that is referred to psychicaccess.com. So for more details, visit psychicaccess.com/webmasters. You can also find that if you're on psychicaccess.com, you'll see it, you know, on the, I think it's on the left-hand side or right, I don't know, click on that. It talks about if you want to do that. If you like our show, again, please invite your friends to join us and, you know, spread the word. I think we're really cool. We've got some great guests. We have some great topics, and, you know, invite them to the chat room. We have a fantastic chat room, and everybody's so kind and warm, and I feel it's the best out there, this chat room. So invite them to the Psychic Viewpoint. There's something for everybody again, so please spread that word out. Very much appreciate it. The call-in number for readings at the end of the show is, are you ready? Let's see what someone's saying. Are you ready? Is someone going to be able to type it in? I could do it. I'm also good about doing this, but it's 724-444-4851. I would like to remark before we start our banter that the phone lines will not be open. The phone line will not be open until around 9:15 p.m. That's Eastern Standard Time. It's 6:15 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So if you try to call before that, it's not going to happen. It won't work out for you, and you'll be, you know, thinking what's wrong, and so I'm going to save it you from thinking something's wrong. There's nothing wrong. It just does not open up until that time, so please be sure to wait. It's time for a bantering or sparring. No, it doesn't matter, sparring or bantering. It has everybody there with, hey, all you guys and women and guys here with me?
Absolutely.
We're all here. We're still here. The technical gods are okay. They're treating us lovely. Okay, so Steve. Hi, Steve.
Hello.
hello. Hello. Steve, had you heard of Mary Greer before?
I hadn't. I'm ashamed
really?
To say. I'm not,
no, don't be
ashamed. But you have to understand that a lot of my studies and reading in life prior to my move to the States were very much focused on Europe and the UK. So you often find, you know, if I can speak to somebody in the US and say, hey, have you heard of this person that's really famous to me in the UK, and they haven't heard of that person, that's sometimes the same for me here in the US.
Well, yeah, but she's all over she's globally, but it doesn't matter because you're so young.
I'm not so young, Maureen.
You're young.
You're no, big time.
she's very popular over in the, I know, in England, because, well, just because I know everything. No, but because, though, you also didn't get, like, Steve, I admire you, what you did. You know, you crossed over to where you're to be, you know, I don't want to, well, I've devoured your,
it's one of the best decisions I've ever made.
Yeah, and it's no, you've talked about your story before, and everybody can hear me roar about it, and I think that when I hear, and that's, you know, I'm hearing a little bit more and more, or I'm coming across people, and I admire that courage, and to actually be in that place of being brave, to go for it, to do what you must do. Like I say, I must do what I must do, but you were in a position where you could have let your other part of yourself, your other vibrational self, keep going on that ladder of, you know, seven figures, I'm sure would have ended up a year. But You know, you came to where you were supposed to, you're doing the work.
Seven figures if you include the cent.
That's right. Well, no, you don't know. You could head towards seven figures very fast. And, you know, so.
I realized that money's not important to me.
No, it's important enough to make you feel, it's important enough to make you feel relaxed enough helping people, but, or paying bills, but not. And there's and there are several more people. I know I've had a guest on before that, you know, Alan. I don't know if you remember Alan talking about he didn't say reinventing, but something like that. He also left the corporate world of, you know, big time and decided to go full into work of this nature. You know, not exactly what we do, but I just find that to be very brave, and it's exactly what you were to do. Now, when she did your thing, you sound like you're more special. Did it make sense to you at all? I'm wondering.
I've looked at the Hermit card closely because the Hermit is Aquarius.
Oh.
In the Hermetic tradition, Hermit is Aquarius, I'm sure. The Hermit is Aquarius, isn't it, Stephen, in the Hermetic tradition?
Stephen,
he's gone to sleep. Yes. No.
It is, isn't it?
Right, yeah, that's the thing is going to be confusing, yeah.
So that's why I looked at the because I'm mostly Aquarian.
Right.
The power and harmony in my chart is very much under the sign of Aquarius. Although my sun is in Capricorn, but I've got a weak sun, and
I'll give you better.
but it's interesting because the Hermit is Aquarius, so it absolutely makes sense to me. And I'd studied the Hermit card a lot because I knew it was a card that really was very connected with Aquarius.
Well, you know, it's interesting because she uses, you know, she herself in this, well, that she used, I posted it in our little chat area. I don't know if you saw it. Did you see what I said? She uses Hermetic. Did you see that?
No, I didn't see that she was Hermetic.
Well, Stephen saw it. Which she, the astrological associations used in this book of hers are based on the Hermetic order of the Golden Dawn.
But there's the Hermetic order of the Golden Dawn, or the order of the Golden Dawn. I'm not of that tradition.
You know what you really are, Stephen. But the Hermetic astrology, I mean. I don't know if that even makes sense.
I'll check, but I know that the Golden Dawn is not my tradition. My tradition is Brotherhood of Light, Order of Light.
Right, okay. But in Hermetic astrology, does that go in the same?
I don't know. I thought, Stephen probably would know, but I thought that the Golden Dawn tradition was non-Hermetic, and that the Hermetic tradition that I belong to is Brotherhood of Light.
Okay, Stephen says it's practically identical with the Hermetic Tarot. So I guess it's separate. I didn't know. Okay, I see.
It's confusing.
He doesn't know what he's talking about.
He doesn't know what he's talking about. What up with him?
The term Hermetic is a little bit misleading. Some societies use that term in a sort of a proprietary way, but as a generic term, Hermetic occultism as a discipline simply refers to the teachings of Hermes Trismegistus.
Right.
So now the Hermetic Tarot is a misnomer almost because it actually resembles more the Thoth deck. The internal occult dynamics of the Hermetic Tarot are going to be identical to the Thoth deck. Now, when Steve says he's a Hermetic astrologer, you know, he's talking about the Brotherhood of Light. You know, this tarot tradition is quite radically different from the conventional Rider-Waite deck.
And the Golden Dawn. And the Rider-Waite is Golden Dawn tradition.
Yes,
So my tarot's, the tarot system I use is very different.
Right. I just use one called Maureen's
Stephen's
system.
Right.
I'm right. Maybe I'm the right one.
I think, though, that you can develop your own relationship with the cards. Even within any particular tradition, the reader develops nuances in terms of the way they interpret the cards, and the cards communicate with the reader. So if you develop a particular determination that a card means this to you, if that is the message that the spirit want to give or that's to come from the subconscious, then that's the card that will appear.
Yeah, and everybody can, you know, read that and know the definition, every definition in the world, reverse and everything from the book. I myself have never read like that because I didn't start. That's what I like about Mary. She goes, there's no rules with her, and that's why I appreciated her in 1988 when I found her work, when I found her workbook, because it was exactly that. What do you see? What do you feel? It wasn't about just throw everything aside and connect with it in our lives. That's how. That's why I've always said that term. It's a symbolic record of human experience. Now it might be different for somebody else, but there are certain different types of readers that do it certain different types of way, and there are readers that just read from the things, and they're okay, that's fine. But you know, I wanted to know, so I ask you that question about that because it's fascinating with me. She said the chariot, and I mean, and the tarot, I mean, tower, and I've always had those two because they are number sevens, but those two have been the ones I follow. So when she said that to me as well, like you said, the hermit was something you connect, it, and it's been disastrous because with me, the you know, the chariot, and it's funny because I have a beautiful chariot someone bought me a long time ago. It's made of brass. It's a real cool thing. And it's a chariot with these horses. Oh, it's beautiful. And I thought, how cool is that? But it's like you can go one direction, you can go in the darker side of the direction, or the better, you know, almost like the way you're going. And then that tower stuff, you know, well, go figure. And that has been kind of like a challenge stuff that I go on. But I want to get so much more into this book of hers, really. It has so much cool information. But so, you know, Stephen. How did you feel about the card she was talking about? I know there's much more to it because you can actually read. She has some – I was reading about. If you go check it out, you can read about the whole – I don't know what it's called, something, whatever, a combination of these things. What did you think about the one she said about you?
Oh, it was quite apt. Absolutely. I was highly impressed. Everything that she said was – of course, it helps that a lot of what she said was quite complimentary, but, you know, we won't go there.
She's not just trying to make Bark a point.
I know. It just naturally happened that way.
You're just a cool guy. You're just a really, I mean,
sort of a big deal. I'm sort of a big deal. Just kidding.
I know you enjoyed it.
I did. Her remarks about the shadow, my shadow card, I found a little probing, and it almost made me a little bit uncomfortable, you know, in the way that it is when someone puts their thumb right on your phobic pressure point, you know, right on your sensitive spot. So she nailed it.
So it got in a little bit of aha moment, but also kind of.
Oh,
like,
yeah, I was thinking, I was like, oh my God, I hope nobody's listening to this because they're going to, like, know my internal secrets.
Well, everybody will be listening to this on archives over and over again because I'm going to...
I know. I'm doing it.
So you were pleased, you know, and you have heard of Mary. You have heard of Mary Greer, right?
Oh, yeah. That's why when the opportunity afforded itself to get her to interpret my life path number, I jumped on that
Glad. I'm glad you did, and I'm sorry I didn't. It was all about me in the beginning.
I was like, I'll volunteer for that gleefully.
But
so.
You know, I mean, I would get, like I said, I love the fact that she brought up that book about even people that, you know, that don't ever read or don't know much. But I loved how she said before she sees somebody, she'll check on what their cards are before. I like that idea. It's not being a trickster, really. You're not like Googling them and seeing what's going on with them. But I kind of like having a little bit of more insight, maybe that might. You know,
absolutely.
You know, and it doesn't seem like it would take too long. It's not like you're doing their chart, right? Steve, you know that. It's like
right.
That could, but I think that's a really nice little thing that she, you know, got, my God, for 40 plus 48 years, I think she's been doing. I mean, obviously she's, you know, been able to put this stuff together. And I like that. I really was taken by that. I thought right there, that would be really nice. And plus it would be fun to do, play around with those things.
Oh, you know, if I go to see my psychic advisor, I would want her or him to employ every technique at his disposal in order to help me get relief on my problem.
Exactly. And Carmen, how did you feel about Mary? Because you're a tarot reader and everything. And had you heard of Mary Greer before?
No, I have not.
Really? Wow. I guess I'm just like an old time. I'm just older than all you people too, but except Steve. So what did you enjoy? I mean, what did you feel about what you know, I was talking mostly about this book, the topic.
I am so disorganized. You know how I read? I mean, I do like working with numbers, and they speak to me, and I'm constantly adding them up and finding patterns and such. And now I'm getting to know the astrological associations, and I work with colors with different decks, and you know, I've done experiments where I've taken a few decks and, you know, they all come up with the same answer. So I love that. And you know what? And so I drifted into, because I'm very disorganized in my readings. I just read a few hundred cards in about a, say, 10 to 15 minute span. They just talk to me. So right, to actually, yeah.
I'm sorry. Go on. I'm sorry to interrupt you. Go on.
Oh, no,
I'm
what
sorry.
Was your point?
No, I forgot. I was just going to bring something up, but no, keep going. I wanted to hear that, what you were just about to
say.
Oh,
no, not important. So it was like more like a vague kind of artistic tarot where I really don't like, if I look at the, I sort of just, you know, blank out when I look at the Celtic cross. I don't want to put anything in a time format. And that's how I'm able to also stick within my ethical belief, which is the now and affecting the now. So then, you know, so I thought about that, but you know, then I sort of drifted into this reverie of two dreams I had, which were really amazing. And the one was I had, you know, I was the high priestess. This was like, I don't know, a decade ago. I had this, it was so cool. I would recommend wearing that hat, Maureen, if you ever get a chance to dream about being the high priestess. But it was very, very beautiful. And then I had, and the outfit was like wearing a robe of stars. And she's one of my favorite cards, isn't she? And then I remember also being in the Fool scene once. And I think an ex-partner of mine, an ex-boyfriend of mine, was that little dog. And I had to actually kind of rein him in, and we were on a cliff and whatever, and you know, sometimes they pop up in your dreams if you get to know them quite well. And so I have this really, really rooted, very in spiritual connection to the cards, and I think that they all have suffused with a certain personality, and it was so nice to be privileged to see that. And so sometimes I come across those archetypes in my dreams. Don't you?
Sorry, I was on a mutation. No, you know, I don't. Archetypes are all over wherever I go. I mean, I'm all for the union. Mary's rolling into the union, and of course, everything else. But I was just wondering what you felt about what she was talking about. The way she goes, she does no rules about tarot. She's very ethical, but there's no rules, and that's why I always really, really enjoyed her, or enjoyed getting to know her in her workbook, because she feels that, you know, forget about what everybody else is saying, like you're saying, you just go your own way. So, you know, I just feel that she's like the pioneer, old times pioneer, and she was a college professor. She left that, but she is defined by her tarot, by tarot itself. And it's like if you felt something and you know that the description, or you've read somewhere something else, I don't go with it. I go with whatever. And you brought up colors, which is very interesting. I do the same thing. If I see a color, it's funny. Sometimes a color, depending on the artist, you know, because of different decks, people, you know, out there, the artist, it's amazing. I might start feeling it. I go against all the rules, whatever rules there are supposed to be, because there's certain tarot readings, because I don't need the tarot myself to do readings. I feel more comfortable because I've always been very skeptical of myself. But you know, it's that empath stuff, Carmen, is what it is. I feel, I get the energy of the feelings. So, you
just
know, the
lovely. And it's like so important to have that refresher again to get to know those archetypes.
Yeah, exactly.
More dreams.
And if it comes to your dreams, fascinating. And that's why, you know, I use the cards almost like in a way they just come wherever they're coming out of. And if I see them, but it's because of my, I'm, you know, that empath stuff can be so hard and hard and even articulate whatever it is that I can become crazy. So the cards can kind of help me stay into a place I can make sense of it. My what I'm getting feeling-wise, physically feeling. And I liked how she brought that up in one of my things. She was saying that I need to protect myself. You know, you guys, did you hear her say that when she was talking about my I need to learn how to protect the – well, I'll hear it again. I'll bring it back up some other day.
I think I'd love to say before you go on or we come on to our next caller is that I really do feel like I have sort of a tarot synesthesia. You know, where I really can just go into the presence of the cards. And I should study them more, and I have. I have in quite detail, but I don't have the knowledge that you people have of the Greek, the mysteries. But so the Greek history and all of those.
Well, I don't have any Greek. Stories. I love Greek food. I love the feta cheese. No, you know, it's only, like I said, the tarot, and I got connected with it for all the other reasons. It had nothing to do with me later on sitting here at 53 years old working in my work, and it was not what I thought. But that's why, you know, I connect. I saw people. I just looked at them and saw people, or saw myself in an awful way, what I was going through. I really had to look at myself in a really way, and I was looking. It was all done through the tarot, and later on, I wanted to. Thank you, Carmen. I wanted to also give out the number again for readings, and the number is 724. I know it by heart. I'll do it again. The number again, I know this by heart, you guys. It's 724-444-485. Oh, my God. 51, is that right?
Let me help you out there, Maureen. It's going to be.
I can't believe it.
It's okay. It's okay. We have it here in the chat room. It's going to be 724-444-4851.
I said it right. It's almost like I've memorized it through the years.
You should have trusted your instincts, Maureen.
I didn't. I started getting really freaky inside for like a half a second.
See what happened to the best of us.
No, it's like, see, I should have said, no, Stephen, 724-444-4851. And the phone line is open, and people are free to call in. And also, I would like to make a note, or please, everybody, make a note of this. When you do call in for a reading, what will happen is it'll be put in the order received. So you can either call in or ask a question in the chat. Well, I don't know, but that we have to take the phone calls first. But again, you know, you heard the number, but be aware that each call will automatically be placed on hold and will be answered in the order received. So you won't be getting greeted by a human being. So please relax and listen to the show while you wait. And please be very clear and direct with your question. We can only take one question per person, as this will allow for us to take all the calls waiting for a reading. I would also like to say, Stephen, I really appreciate you hanging in there anybody that didn't hear before at all. He's not feeling very well. And so we have all made a conscious decision in a together team, because we're team players, that Stephen will not be doing readings this evening, because it wouldn't be fair to anybody. When we're not feeling good, it's really it's not good to try to even give some insight to somebody, because it wouldn't be at our best. We wouldn't be at our best. And I think that's highly commendable, Stephen, that you brought that to our attention, and I agree. I concur. Thank you.
Thank you for covering for me.
No, thank you. Okay. So, Carmen, we have North Carolina. Did I get that right? Okay, North Carolina, right? Yes. Carmen.
Yeah, hi. That's correct. Hi, I'm going to meet you. Hi, what's your name? Thanks, Maureen. North Carolina, person sure. From North Carolina. Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Hello. Good evening.
Hi. Carmen?
It's Carmen. Yes. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
Great. Thanks for asking. Hey, it's you time. So I'm going to have you ask your question.
I guess I'm just wondering, I guess it's more about my love life. I seem to have everything else kind of together. Just if you see anything positive in the future.
In your love life?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you've got this man that's going to stay in touch. Two men that are going to stay in touch with you. And then a third one that's like, this is, I guess, attention. If you're into attention, this is a good thing. You got three men here, and I know that you want caring individuals. So what I see here is not for the lack of interest, okay? But it's more like I see here something at rest. So maybe this is the present. And so you know, we were just discussing how difficult it was for me to get out of the present time format, which is why I'm an empath. So I'm going to try and put that into that lens for you so you understand that this is not necessarily completely and utterly your future. But you have a number of partners that come in here. One of the stronger ones is actually coming up here, but he's very shy. He's rather sort of disappointed in life, perhaps a bit of a loner, perhaps struggling. And he's just sort of difficult to sort of nail down, so to say. He's coming out of a divorce. He doesn't sound great, but it's like he's a lovely man. There's a good financial possibility here that he's going through, so he'll be settled. And it says here, you as well may actually go up in your career, positive improvement. And then it says here, but you toss aside some of these advances, especially one of them that's really quite amorous, you see. You probably reject some of the offers. And this is where I get my Four of Cups, and we were just discussing this card earlier on in our reading, in our conversation. And the reason that is coming up in your reading is to sort of signify a lassitude or perhaps an attitude around you of, say, indolence, laziness, taking things for granted, perhaps being in a bad mood. And I want to say that maybe it's okay for you right now to remain single. I mean, I see here not for the lack of you getting attention, but I also see you probably deciding on rejecting some of them, which kind of leaves you in a position where you're going to be deciding what to do with your life. And so I feel like you're going to be doing something like taking on a loan and then starting something or going somewhere with a friend, possibly a trip. And then it seems to me here that an old family friend or distant family member is going to be contacting you, or an old friend. And this is actually, there's a lot of resolution coming up in your reading. So, you know, I'm quite optimistic about your reading being better than the seven men that I saw, you know, wooing you, one of which will be interesting for you. Sort of circumspect, you won't know who he is, but listen, it's great. And then your career takes off. Don't sweat it. You know, okay. Call us when you,
Know if I wasn't seeing things clearly through the grief. So,
well,
you know,
I think you'll be okay with that. I think that that's going to guide you to a point where you are going to meet somebody. So you just hang on to whatever attitude you have right now. It's fine. You know what I mean?
Thank you. Yeah, I know.
Okay. All right. Good luck. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Carmen.
Thank you, Carmen. And if you'd like to get to a reading with Carmen, psychicaccess.com. And if you have not yet done so, you can sign up, register, and get a free 6-minute reading. And it's a good deal. Thank you. Steve, you have a call from Alberto? Alberta, Canada, I think.
Thank you. Who's calling from Alberta? Alberta, can you hear me?
I'm not sure we've got this person, Maureen. Can you hear me, Alberta?
Wait for it. Wait for here, wait. Something's coming.
Let's see.
I don't see it. Wait, it's not my tidal wave I've been waiting for. That's not coming. Well, we can kind of like see what happens next. And try New York. How about New York, Steve?
Okay. Have we got a caller from New York there? New York, can you hear me?
Maybe speak in their tongue, their natural tongue. I'm sorry.
Natural tongue, what do I call it?
Their accent. New York. Now, how they say whatever, you know.
New York. I don't know.
Wait,
I can
for
say coffee, I can say.
No, there's certain ways, the dialect of Brooklyn, you know, coffee. Oh. And it's, you
I
know,
can
you
only
got
do.
Staten Island, a little different. New York, New York. Maybe sing a song. Hello, New York. Are you there? Wait for it.
I can only
do an Appalachian. I can't hear anything either, Steve. So either our hearing is gone bad. I think, well, we'll try again in a moment with someone and it could be someone above. I'm sorry.
It could be Alberta. It could be New York.
It could be. And there's, you know, it just could be. It is what it is for all the proper reason. Try Alberta. How about Alberta? Alberta. I probably don't say Canada.
Alberta. Can you hear me? Alberta. No, Alberta's not there, Maureen.
Well, you know, it's just all about the technical gods playing with our, having fun with us, you know, like we're in a little, you know, what, sandbox, we're not playing fair. I mean, before, I'm sure it will work itself out in the meantime. You know, it could be a button that the technical gods are just like messing and putting this big button. Try New York one more time. New York.
Okay.
Go for it.
New York, are you there? Can you hear me, caller from New York? No. I don't think we've got New York either, Maury.
Okay, I perform magic and I'll push a button right now. Boop. Here, I've pushed the big button. And I'm just guessing we're going to have to go back to whatever I want to talk about. Okay, so
sure.
1945 and 1945, sorry.
End of the war.
In 1945... it all started, you know, I'm getting ready to write a blog. Mm-hmm. I haven't done so in a long time. I just wanted to bring it up. And it's something that is interesting I forgot about. And that's why I really stressed everybody about the go to psychicbloggers.com. It is fantastic. And I haven't partaked as much as I would have liked to. But I always get all, you know, obsessive about it. I got to think about what it is. And something came to me. And I can't wait to write about it. And also... knowing that somebody can correct it for me, but I am in the midst of doing it, and it's funny because I like to write. And Steve, as we know, coming up, you're going to be having a show pretty soon, interview. Because why don't you let us know what's the big? I think it's something you should. I'm clapping. I'm giving you the clap.
Have you got one of those plastic hands?
And it's going. No, you hear? I'm giving you that clap, and it's all deserving. You just published a book, yes. And we're going to be having you as – you're going to be a guest, aren't you?
Yeah,
coming up. What month is that going to be?
It's in March. It's Stephen's show.
Next month. Okay. We were looking forward to one of our own. He's moving on. Yeah. Pretty soon. You better remember us, Steve.
That's going to be on the 13th of March that I'll be interviewing Steve.
Fantastic.
Ramsey, the book. Yeah.
I think that's fantastic. I'm really happy for you, Stephen. And this is the one that we spoke about in the criminal, is that the one about all the research?
Well, it's called Great. Thinking Completely Outside the Box, Astrology as a Predictive Tool to Prevent Rampage Shootings.
I can't wait. Oh, Steve, you did. Okay, and as soon as you said rampage shootings, we got Washington State. Washington State, there you have it.
Okay, who's calling from Washington State?
Hi, Steve. I'm just calling in to test out the line for you to see if it's actually working or not.
You're through. Would you like a reading?
Yes.
Go for it, Julie.
Sure. It's Julie.
What's your first name?
Julie.
Julie. What would you like to ask, Julie?
Actually, I would love to hear more about your book instead, and I will hang up and let you guys go from there.
Well, yeah, we were just – well, I'm excited because I've just published my first book about – it's actually a metaphysical book about using astrology as a predictive tool to prevent serious crimes. So we'll be doing a show on that in March, March the 13th, I think. But we appreciate you calling in to check our lines are working.
Hey, no problem. Bye.
Thank you, Julie.
Well, thank you, Julie. You're great. That was wonderful. Thanks a lot for doing that. So we all know it's working, everybody. So
it's working.
You know, Julie already proclaimed that, and that's – I mean, I put her on – get a read. I throw her out there. So I'm not right. I don't
Julie
do that.
Have a reading. Come on, Julie. Ask a question.
Julie, push her. Sorry, Julie. I don't do that to you. You know, I was just messing with you. I don't force people. In fact, I don't – one thing, pet peeve, and I take pride in this. You know, people come up to you and say unsolicited and want to give you advice. Uh-uh. You know what? I've had people do that to me. And, you know, I didn't ask for any advice from either. It might be someone that works in this work or whatever.
I don't like to do that.
I don't like that. It's so wrong.
It's cringe when people do that.
But there's a lot of people that do that. I'm like, what? You know, back away from me. Get away. Get the garlic. No,
I don't believe that. I believe it's a real intrusion.
Absolutely.
Some people don't want to ask questions, and
somebody doesn't want to be asked, getting treated, doesn't want to be read. It's just simple, but you know, people have it goes into their space. I mean, I've had, and there are people that are readers themselves, and I know, I get like, and I that's, you know, delusioned me when I first got into my work professionally. I thought it was, I had finally made it to my home, the land of me. Everybody's the same. We're all just going to be just, you know, wonderfully just right truth and everything. I was so disillusioned. I think I had high expectations. In fact, I freaked out. I got really disappointed the first time. I really did. It hurt me deeply. I was cracking up. It wasn't funny. It was awful. I thought I found my way. I found my tribe. That's what I felt like. And it wasn't. They're not all this, you know. What do you have to say about that?
Well, it's like any profession. You get a lot of different people working different ways with different standards, I guess.
I guess, but our profession, it borders. We're trying, you know, we're getting, things are changing, but you know that word charlatan I don't like. But you know, there's still some that you go, oh, you do that for work. Well, you must be really a.
It is really. I really enjoy speaking to people that have that.
Mindset.
So people that say to you, what did you know, they talk to you, and what do you do for a living? Well, I'm a psychic medium and astrologer. Really? Yeah.
Is it nice?
You make a living doing that? Yeah, it's what I do full time. Oh, so what do you do? And you explain, well, you can, you know, you can look at crime and crime prevention. You look at medical astrology and health profiles, and you can provide all kinds of insight on not only for people, individuals, but for nations, what's happening in the world, etc. And people just don't realize that this is available. This is one of the reasons why I published the book, Maureen, because I really want to help prove.
Educate people is what you're doing, it sounds like to me. You're educating them in areas that they thought were not possible. I love what you just said, because you're saying, yeah, well, I do, it's this and this. And other people don't connect it with that. They think of fortune telling, palm, you know, all that stuff, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I love what you just said. Absolutely, Steve. And you know what? I love what you've done here, because that is so going to help a lot of us.
Yeah, well, I felt like it was important to put, because I've had all this information, all of this evidence about the case study I did. The case study was James Holmes, the Aurora, Colorado shooter at the Batman movie. And I did so much, I just found that intriguing. And I did so much research and found the names of the victims in his chart and all kinds of incredible pieces of evidence. You just couldn't make it up. It's not possible. And I thought, this needs to be published, because we need to start thinking outside the box. That's why I called it thinking completely outside the box, because we need to take these tools seriously in the world. It was funny. Yeah. I had a magazine contact me saying that they want to do a review on my book, and is that okay? And my response was, yes, unless you say it's crap.
Well, that's a good, of course, that goes without saying. Oh, Steve, can we try Alberta, Canada one more time?
Sure.
Or two more? Okay, thanks.
Can you hear us, Alberta?
Hello?
Hi, what's your name?
Abigail.
Hello, Abigail, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good, Abigail, good, thank you. We're glad to have you with us. How can we help?
Well, you can always help with lots, but I'm trying to figure out something that's the most important. I'm not quite sure which one to ask.
Okay, well, you can choose whatever you like. I just need you to give me a question, and I'll look at it for you.
Can you give me some advice on my financial future?
Okay, your financial future. Your financial outlook is really good, actually. I don't feel that things have been easy for you. When I look at the cards and reflect upon the past, not the really distant past, but the relatively recent past, so a year or two, I can see that you've been trying extremely hard and really applying yourself, putting lots of energy into your career. And I can see that you've had lots of ideas as well. You've been thinking a lot and generating a lot of ideas. But I can see challenges there. But I feel that right now, the situation is really starting to open up for you. And we've got a really nice card, Pentacles card for you in the current situation. And I feel that moving forward, you'll have lots of opportunities financially. You'll need to make choices about which direction to take and what to do with money. But you'll have lots of opportunities to just make sure that you make good choices. And I know that you didn't ask about romance, but I do feel that romance is on the horizon for you as well, and I feel that you really deserve that, and it seems to be coming this spring. And I feel that the partner that you get together with, it's later in the spring, but the partner you get together with is also somebody that's very very mental and thinking a lot and just generating ideas, an intellectual person that is also good with money. And I feel that you can do really well together. And that's what I see for you.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. We wish you lots of luck.
Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you, caller, for calling in. And if you are interested in reading with Steve or another person, but Steve's great, you can contact him at psychicaccess.com. And for those of you who've called in or can hear me out there, which I know you can in Radio Land, if you haven't signed up for yet at psychicaccess.com, you are able to get a 6-minute free reading if you have not done so yet. Just go through registration. Very easy. Okay. I have a caller, and it's from, wait for it, Georgia. Is that right? Georgia. No. Hello, Georgia. This is Maureen.
Hello. Hello.
Hello. And your name, you're from Georgia, but you're a guy. Okay.
Yes.
I knew you knew I was saying to stay.
Yes.
I want to call. And what's your name, please?
My name is Devin Harris.
Devin?
Yes, Devin Harris.
You give me your full name so I could go track you down. I'm just messing with you. Have your social security.
Devin Cordell Harris. This is my first time calling.
And what can I help you with?
Oh, man. I want to know, like, 3 things, if you don't mind.
Well, I'm only, because of our time restraints, I can only take 1 direct question because of our time in the readings we're doing here. So sorry. So think of the most important.
All right. It's been on my mind all week. I want to know who my soulmate is.
Okay. Do you have somebody that you kind of are connected to right now in that way?
Yes.
Okay, so good thing we got that away. You sound familiar. I don't know if I've spoken to you before. Okay, so you have, there's somebody on your mind anyway, and you want to kind of, what I hear, my understanding is that you want to know, because I do feel that if sometimes that word so overused, the soulmate stuff, whatever, can be also very difficult because one person is pushing you away or detached and you have to hang out. And is that what's going on with you right now with her? In that way, it looks like there's some pain. I see some pain.
Yeah, I'm dealing with a lot of family pain, like my mom. So I'm yielding to someone that I'm comfortable with, basically.
Right, and it just there's so much. I feel your heart hurts. There's so much pain, hurt. I feel things. I'm sorry. I'm sad.
Right.
You're having to deal. No, I'm just saying. I know I can't take your pain, but it is intense. And there's a lot of other things. You're dealing with a lot of things. I do see a female around this. I see your mother. She looks very, very positive. Like a very positive force. And if you're saying if you're going through stuff, and I would say it's probably difficult, she's a fine mother, and it does look like so much of your work stuff is going on. There's so many changes that is not right, that are not right. If that makes sense to you, it's heading towards a soulmate question, but do you follow what I'm talking about? You've got so much happening, bless your heart. And I mean it in all a good way. The thing of it is, I see two females around you. And one female, she looks like she's lighter looking, or lighter eyes, lighter, her hair looks a little lighter. And she looks very good. She looks like she's very traditional. She loves family. She's ruling the family and such. She's very positive. There's a lot of warmth. She comes into rooms. She's very, my mind is getting older. Vivacious, a little bit vivacious. You know, she'll light the room up. But she is very into family, and she likes having a lot of people around her. I do see another girl around here, and she looks a bit youthful. I'm not saying they're not the same age or anything, but she has darker hair. Or darker look about her, and it looks like she's not pursuing school right now. Whereas, like a student, it could be an unconventional type of schooling, anything to learning, and she's not doing that, pursuing it for whatever reasons. I'm not clear. Do you have two people that are, maybe one's a relative? I don't know. I'm just picking up on this.
Yeah.
Okay.
One is my sister. And the other lady you mentioned sounds like my soulmate.
Okay, so which is the one your soulmate? The one that's not the student-like person?
No,
that's
my sister.
The more traditional. Okay, the vivacious one that comes into a room, lights it up. Type of deal.
Right, my soulmate.
Right, got it. Okay, she looks okay. I'm glad that we deciphered that. Not that you're feeding the psychic.
I have
kind of decide because I have a hard time articulating when I feel this. She looks very positive. She looks very supportive coming up in the months as time goes on, especially when you're going through such hard, difficult things. You know, things are very eventful for you, and it's not in a very happy way where your heart is in the way. I see since so much pain. She's very support. I see her to be very supportive. I also am seeing that she's actually getting a little bit more deeper about her spiritual. It's a good thing. She's going a little deeper. I see a choice coming up, and a choice. You two have a very deep relationship. I can get that. You're very strongly bonded. I don't see her wanting to go out and play around with her friends, socializing or doing that kind of thing. Maybe as before. I see her getting much more into her spiritual. I'm not trying to be woo-woo, but being okay with being up with herself. Okay, are you laughing at that?
Right.
Did you laugh at that?
I'm actually smiling. That's a good thing.
Oh, good. It's a good smile then, yeah? Okay.
Yes.
I do feel that this is going in a good way. I see an opportunity and there's a choice. So what I see is, I'm not saying, you know, I'm not doing this big time frame with you. I see a kind of of momentum, of flowing going on here with your heart and things. And I see this, what's the girl's name that the soulmate, the reflection of her, what you're talking about?
Her,
give me any name.
I was told, even through meditation, that her name is Janessa.
Okay. Well, let's put it this way. I just see her threading through this reading of yours and continuing on. I do see a good choice that needs to be, this is really good. If somebody, I see a choice will be coming up. You'll have an option. And this is the thing. If somebody, maybe somebody goes, are you crazy? Because if she... You're a dreamer, okay? They'll say you're a dreamer. Who cares what everybody says about you? Somebody will say you're a dreamer, and you go, what do you mean? I would say be fearless and jump off will jump in or jump off, whatever you want to call it, and be right. fearless. And because I see a big change and changes that are going to be fantastic. And for someone to say, that's not really realistic, or who do you think you are? You can't do that. You can't be that person. That person doesn't exist. That, you know, fill in the blanks. It doesn't matter. It doesn't really matter. You don't need to have anybody.
I'm going through that right now.
Are you? Well, if it continues on, I say.
That's funny.
Sometimes I tell people, don't do it to yourself. Don't jump. Don't. You're not in a good place. Right. This, you will. I feel a good excitement and a renewed feeling of enthusiastic energy towards life. And right now, what's going on with you, it's intense. And this is a good place to be. And I do feel that you'll be making the right choice. And if anybody doesn't agree with it, I say, I would trust my choice, and it would be your not my choice, your choice in this case. And even if it seems stupid and dumb, who cares? It's a good one, because there's a good there's changes,
right.
new beginnings.
Right.
It's fantastic. Okay, you go,
go
for it.
I'm go for it.
Yes, you are, and you deserve it.
Love,
and like I said,
I love you, Janessa, if you're listening.
Oh, you're so sweet. You're a nice, you're a wonderful person, and I'm sorry. I know I can. The pain is so. Wow, it'll be okay, and but the pain is what it is. But things are going as they should be. Okay, I hope I helped you. I hope I helped you. Bless your heart.
Yes, you have. Yes, you have. Thank you.
Thank you for calling in. Bye bye.
You're welcome. Bye.
A nice guy. I like very nice guy. He didn't give me a social security number. Okay. I wasn't paying attention. Are there other callers that I missed, you guys? I wasn't paying attention. If you can help me out, I don't know. No one's going to help. Just going to let me just, you know, look like I don't know what I'm doing. Is that what you people do? Is that what you're all trying to pull on me? I'm on to you. Is anybody in chat?
I don't think we have another caller.
We don't.
Oh,
okay.
Let me see in the chat room, maybe.
Yeah.
Doug's saying we do in the chat room.
I think he said something else about the chat. I don't know.
Sorry. No, we don't have anyone.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I think he's just having. Never mind. I think he said. Okay. Anyway. Well, we're getting pretty close. Yeah, that was a good one. But does anybody have any aluminum foil on them? Sorry. I'm not sorry. What am I sorry for? I'm sorry all the time for everything. It's always about me. It's always about me. Next week's show is your show, Steve, isn't it?
That's exact. No, Steve.
Oh, Steve, not you. Steve.
No, yeah, sorry.
What are you trying to do? Whore into that? Not whore. You're not a whore.
Yeah, I was trying to
do that. Whore. Steve, is your show next week? Maybe you can talk about that for a moment here, if you don't mind. Unmute
yourself.
Is it
my show next week?
I think so. I know. I didn't know it was my show.
If it is, I need to get...
Okay, it's okay.
Correct.
We can you can pretend you... Whatever show Steve... You do know what your show is next week.
Well, I do. I don't think it's next week, but my next show is Lisa Williams.
Oh, no. Well, wait a minute. What am I off on? Carmen, it's show. Carmen, are you not just jumping in? Carmen's watching me suffer, too. Carmen, I'm sorry, Steve. I'm trying to mess with you.
I'll check the schedule here. I've got it here.
It is Carmen.
It certainly is.
But Carmen was very quiet not to say, it's my show. She wanted to sit back and rock in her chair going, I'm going to listen to this one till I... It's okay. Carmen, what do you have planned for next week?
We're doing the start of the Alien Disclosure series. So that's going to be very exciting. We're bringing in, it's great. Lots of fun truths and such. Now, in getting this together, we're getting some excellent stories from people that claim to have witnessed UFO sightings. And the man that we will be talking with is called Jeff Faulkner. And he used to work in Canada. He was actually a highway patrolman. Isn't that a perfect story? He's a highway patrolman, and one fine night, a strange light was on the skyline. And he'll tell us all about that. So he's going to be talking about witnessing UFO. He was a witness. Very.
No, I think that's fantastic. I think it'll be lovely. I'm all for, I'm an extraterrestrial, so the mothership is really coming again. I'm all for that topic, and I know it's only a matter of time. Come on, you guys. It's just a matter of time till, you know, come on. Let's just all get along with everybody that doesn't stop from here.
Well, he points out that some extraterrestrials like us are kind of good and bad. You know, you get the good and the bad. So he's going to be discussing the different types of terrestrials.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. That'll be interesting.
Excuse me. Or the ETs.
Yeah. Well, the same. Yeah. ETs, abbreviation. Or we could call them the ambassadors. the ambassadors.
Universal diplomat.
Yeah, the new. Yeah, did you ever see the Twilight Zone? I love this, you guys. I love the original Twilight Zone. Wait, what was it called? Oh, how to serve man, and it, and they come. It's just the 1960s. It comes in. I just gotta say this real quick. They come down. How, and it's a cookbook. Really, but it, they didn't know it. It's how to serve man, like serve them in a lovely, like serve. And it turns out, so all of them want to go to their planet, and they're all happy. Well, they're eating them. How to Serve Man is a actual cookbook. Okay, I'm
well,
off.
I was reading on my research. I came across Stephen Hawking. He was hosting an event with a group of school children. Who were all writing ET letters. And one of them was, you know, they were saying such as, "Dear Supreme Being," and, you know, "This is what we like to do. I like to eat ice cream." And then the one kid said, "And don't eat us." And only kid would say that, you know, and then beam that off to space. That's so brilliant.
I know it is. It's kind of cute, but I remember that. How to Serve Man, you could take it either way, but it's, never mind. And it's cute for kids, so innocent. Maybe they're on something. But, well, I'm looking to see, people are saying some very rude things to me, not in the chat room. Everybody in the chat room, I would like to really thank you for joining us this evening, and I'm glad that we had audio back on, and the archive will be interesting. Tell people to listen to archive, because we had a lot to talk about with Mary. So, with that said, we don't have any more calls, so, you know, I am going to say my goodbye and see you guys next week. And, Carmen, I'm really looking forward to your show next week. And, Steve, after that week will be Lisa, right?
Yes.
And that's on March, what is it?
Oh, let me see. The exact date is... Let me check the schedule again. Let's see. Lisa Williams March 6th, yes.
Okay, yep. Good. Yeah, that will be very fascinating. I know her. I know her, like, you know, I know her. No. I know her, of her very well. And we're looking forward to that. And Carmen's show, too. And then, again, Stephen, I hope you feel better. And I'd like to thank Doug, who got everything under control tonight yet again, too. And for all the other times, the nights that we're coming into our... May is our fourth year, so we'll be going into our fifth year. So that'll be coming up in May also. So anyway, thank you all for joining us, and we will see you next week. Goodbye. Go for it, you guys.
Good night.
Bye.
Night.
Hello, my name is Res Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic access. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. PsychicAccess.com.